Is ag technology where it should be? More importantly, where is it going? That's what we're discussing with the next Dream Ag Young Guns. That's right. The offspring of the Extreme Ag people join me for this special episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. This episode is brought to you by TevaCorp, providing farmers with the most technologically advanced products and innovative ideas to meet their quest for higher yields, top quality, and maximum profit. Visit TevaCorporation.com. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, welcome to another fantastic episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve. Got a great episode for you today. We're talking about technology. We're talking about ag technology, talking about the future, talking about today, talking about if it's where it should be. And I've got an excellent panel. I have the next generation, or next Dream Ag, as I call them, the young guns. That's right. These are the offspring of the people that started Extreme Ag. They're joined by Caleb Kootz. He is the offspring of Mark Kootz, who is the second generation owner and operator of Teva Corporations. Caleb's third generation. So we're talking about what things look like from the eyes of the younger generation in agriculture. This is good. If you're in their generation, see if maybe you see things from the same perspective as they do. If you're from my generation, it's always very smart to keep up with what those behind you are seeing, perceiving, and doing, because you know what? They probably are seeing and perceiving and doing things in a different manner than you, and it can be very educational and helpful. That's why we got these guys on. I've got Alexander Evans or Alexander Rhodes, it depends. He goes by Woth. Anyway, he's out there farming with Temple Rhodes, his stepfather in Maryland. Lane Miles of Delta, Arkansas fame, where they don't have livestock, they just raise gators. Danielle Matthews Venable, she's with child, is going to be having a kid here this spring. Very exciting time in North Carolina. She farms through dad, Kevin Matthews. Jackson Henderson farms in Madison, Alabama with his father and sometimes grandfather, Chad and Mike. And then Connor/Vern Garrett. Connor Vern Garrett is the oldest of the Kelly and Amber Garrett lineage and area in Iowa, which is really not area. It's basically North Dow City. But when you realize that both those two towns together are just about the size of your office, it doesn't really matter what the hell you call it. Anyway, so is ag technology where it should be? Let's start off here. Lane always impresses me. He has a page and a half of notebook paper written down on this topic. So let's go with you, Lane. Is ag technology where it should be? Does it impress you, or is it sometimes like, damn, I believe we could be further ahead than this?
I stay fairly impressed. I like it. As far as where is it should be, it would really depend on who you ask. If you ask dad, there's too much of it out there. It's always changing. You never really get a hold of what you really want to do. I wrote down here that the average farmer is 57 and a half years old. So you take somebody that's in their later 50s, are they really wanting to adapt to the things that are here? Dad's 55, so he's fixing to hit that average, by the way. You need to make sure you let him know that. But he does pretty good as far as like wanting to bring things in, because like you said, you always need to be looking at the person behind you that's coming up behind you, because one thing he's good about is Lane, you're going to be coming up. So we've got to be able to adapt to things that are happening. If it was just him, I think he would still farm 48-40s.
All right, Jackson, you put on a new hat for this episode. I appreciate that. You got your look going there. You run the sprayer. It's leaps and bounds ahead of what equipment looked like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, for sure. We're talking about See and Spray technology. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. We got sprayers coming out new that are $1 million. That's pretty impressive to me. First off, that you can justify spending that kind of money, but secondly, what they're capable of doing. But anyway, when you look around the farm, when you look around this industry, is ag technology impressive to you, or do you think it still, do you think it still has some tweaks to be made?
It definitely impresses me where stuff is coming and what's to come. Like you see some of the stuff they introduce in like the See and Spray, like it's going to be big when they get it figured out. But it's like, you know, it still ain't made for this type of area where we're at with the hills and stuff. But it, the operation center and John Deere and the spraying and the machines, everything, it's come a long way, and it's going to be good in the future.
Danielle, is ag technology where it should be? Does ag technology keeping up with other industries, what do you think when you look around and then you look at your farm and you look around this industry?
I feel like it is. I feel like the technology is there. I mean, the Commodity Classic, you see drones everywhere. John Deere's introducing their new combine. There's so many things that are coming about, the See and Spray technology. But I think the part that's lacking isn't the technology, but like knowing how to use it and having the people there to train you on how to use it. I think that's more of where it's falling behind than in the technology itself.
I'd agree with that. Is ag technology, in your perspective, Caleb, impressive or just keeping up?
I think it's darn impressive. I mean, you look at these things where with the precision that we can plant, yeah, that we can know and record what we're doing on the farm. I mean, that's stuff that even has changed, you know, certainly within our parents' lifetime and even within our own. And that, I mean, it's really crazy the kind of stuff that we can know from a mechanical standpoint, you know, from a technology side, where what we're doing on the farm. And I mean, I'm impressed by it. That's for sure.
Vern, impressive, just keeping up, behind. Where's ag compared to other industries? You're 2.5 years out of Iowa State. I mean, well, wait a minute. Iowa State, I don't know. They still have phone booths around there, don't they?
Not quite, but yeah, I would say the university's a bit behind what some private company research is doing, like Extreme Ag. But as far as technology goes, I think we're keeping up. It's pretty impressive how far it's come, but I still don't feel like it's that refined. It's tough to find that one-stop shop for all your data, that all your field operations, all your soil sample, all your different things. Ops Center's really done a great job, and it's pretty impressive what you can get on your phone. But I think it could be more refined. Every time something comes out, it's buggy. It has a hell of a time out here, yes, with the phone service and different things. So I think we there's still room to improve.
By the way, that's one thing that I'm always, I don't know, somewhere between mystified or amused by when I obviously I'm at ag functions every week of my career, and they say, and just think about it. You can have this phone out in your fields doing this, this, this. I'm like, well, I work with these extreme ag guys, and I just want to call them. And they don't even have a signal, let alone being able to go on and do advanced graphics and manage software. They don't even have enough signal to receive a phone call, which, my God, we've had cell phones now since the mid-90s, almost 30 years. And, like, that's a neat thing, ag tech company, that I can do all this from my phone. But trust me, I've got Kelly Garrett on the phone sometimes, and he just says, wait, are you there? What? I'm like, so anyway, I agree with you about that, about connectivity. We better get better wireless out in the middle of hinterlands before we go too far with this. Alexander, are we where we need to be? Are we behind?
I mean,
you're on the East Coast. Hey, wait, you're on the East Coast. Everybody knows that if you're on the East Coast, that's where all innovation comes from. So surely you got to tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd fully agree with that, Damien, but no, I don't think we're behind. I think we're keeping up and we're moving ahead. The biggest thing for us is, like Vern was saying, signal is a big deal with us. And you wouldn't think it'd be that way because we're, you know, most of our farms are right on the water. You would think we'd have plenty of service. Another thing would be, you know, keeping everything, you know, having everything on one device. So like we run, you know, Trimble Auto Steer, but all of our stuff is tracked through the Climate app. Yep. So, you know, having all that stuff, it would be nice to have it all in one thing, you know, that you could track what you're doing, but you could also have your auto steer and, you know, everything that runs on your planter or whatever sprayer, whatever you're doing. I feel like that would be nice to have it, you know, just one screen, one monitor, have it all there.
By the way, Alexander doing a great job of getting ahead of the interviewer. I was going to ask my next question, what do you need or what is wrong technologically on the farm? But you know what? He went ahead and just, he is related to Temple. How many times am I trying to control the interview and Temple just goes and like, he's not a bull in a china shop.
No, he's a damn
rhinoceros in a clean room. I mean, it ain't right. I mean, he messes up everything. All right. What do you need when you look around that maybe, again, the guy my age, gal my age, doesn't realize they need, but you look at it on a farm and you're like, my God, here's all the stuff they're giving us is great if it works. But you know what we really need right now? I'll give you an example. I fly all the time. How many times have you been to the airports? You guys all just flew to Houston last week. There's a flight problem. You go up to talk to the agent. The agent gets out a keyboard that looks like it's 1988 and types in all this code when you would think, couldn't they just drag their finger around on a screen and put me onto a different flight? But instead, they have to type in all this code like it's programming from 1988. I look at this and I'm like, how is this so antiquated? You've got all this technology in this world and you still have to use a keyboard to move me to a different flight. When you look at stuff the way I just talked about the flying, what do you see? And you're like, good God, how are we still this backward? I like Alexander's point. Who wants to go next? Danielle?
I'll go next. I'm gonna think on it for a minute.
All right, Lane, what are we missing? What do you need on your farming operation that as much as you got all the bells and whistles, there's still this thing? Alexander says connectivity, or shall I say, almost I think sharing is what he's talking about. If I could get this thing, and this thing to all share. Is that what we're talking about, Alexander?
Yeah, and you know, the data is only as good as, you know, the person putting it in. So that's another, you know, side that we could talk about too, you know. Did that go through?
Yeah.
Dad's getting text messages through his laptop. I don't know what's going on.
All right.
But anyway, yeah.
We got template.
What do you got? What do we need?
I'm gonna have to tag along with Alexander on that one. So as far as like just say I think it was Alexander said that. Our soil sampling, our record keeping, our, you know, planter information, all this stuff that we use. I mean, we're using 5, 6, 7 different platforms.
Right.
And my mom 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago kept looking for that one platform. We're talking about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Looking for that platform that she could do all of our record keeping, at least operation with center would talk to it. You know, our soil samples would go in, something that we would, and that's still a question mark today. So that part of technology and ag is behind.
Yeah.
It's just like farmers trying to adapt to all this new stuff. It's out there. It's available. Somebody can write that program, but it's still sitting way back here.
Yeah, I think that's the one-stop shop is what you're talking about, or the interfacing, so that this, how I manage my grain, then also my planting and inputs, then also my finance, then also my, our machinery management or something. So those don't interface. So if that's that's a big one. Anybody else got anything on that? Jack,
just
you got anything on this?
Just something in there real quick. Like, just to give you like a, I don't know, just kind of like an eye-opening thing. So, like, we run 2630 John Deere monitors in our combine, our planter. So, like, just the fact of, like, you know, we take a flash drive out, we plug it in, you know, run through the year, take it back out, and then have to plug it into a computer just to download all of our stuff, you know. Of course, now we have our climate app and stuff like that, but that's just kind of like a eye-opener there. Is you know, it's kind of a pain to, you know, do that.
Vern, you nod your head. What technology do we need on the farm? What technology is missing? What do you look around and say, how is it still this antiquated?
I'd have to agree with them on the data interfacing and the one-stop shop like we talked about. And just in everywhere else is that those sensor problems, the reliability of it, all these new systems that come out, they're great. The potential of them's great. And then you get over a few acres and it quits working. The electronic component of it goes out. I love all the electronic systems from planting to spraying just for their precision application, their ability to be that precise and that exact, you know, it's like switching on a light switch. But once we get out there and it sees a little dirt and a little moisture and all of a sudden that starts getting buggy, that I'd like to see more reliability out of those systems.
Jackson and Danielle, we've given you all this time to think, so you got to be ready.
I was going to say, like, the simplicity of the, like, the screens and stuff in the tractors. You know, like, if you got somebody that's older, like my grandfather, somebody needs to get on there. You know, we, all of us was raised, like, you know, evolving with the technology and the computers. We know how they work. We're like, my grandfather and them, he has to call me, hey, how do you get this thing to make a line or something? You know, just does, you know, making it more simpler to do stuff in the computer without having to go here, there, you know, in the same way in the operation center, you know, just putting everything in one place to make it more understandable for people that's not just the younger generation.
We're still a long way. I appreciate that. We're still a long way from where we used to be. Again, most usage of this stuff, you know, before you were born was like that clerk at the airline counter where you had to like type in some, honestly, you like had to type in codes and funky words and enter and backspaces and all this to get to do something. So at least with these kinds of, you know, it's more intuitive and interactive. You know, once you get Mike, your grandfather, you know, who's in his 70s, to a certain space, I'm sure that he can at least do it. But you know what, Jackson, I'm at that age, by the way. At Commodity Classic, I had to hand my phone off to Lane and have him fix a couple things for me because I'm now like your grandpa. I said, how the hell do I get it off of Do Not Disturb? And he had to show me. And it was real easy. I mean, I understood. Danielle, what's missing?
I think the interface is what's missing. I mean, when you go to start explaining this technology to somebody, and I tell them they got to have 3 different apps on the iPad and enter this stuff in, it becomes too much. If you want it to be done precise and exactly right, I mean, one thing we had to get over just on our operation was if the guys didn't see the field name there, they wanted to just like add the field name in, but they didn't realize how much work that creates on the back end side when we're sitting in the office because they didn't take the time to scroll all the way down to see the field name. They just decided they were going to add it in there and call it something different. So it's like little steps like that, that it's not necessarily things that are missing, but it's like using it correctly.
Caleb, what's missing? You got a different set of circumstances. You're in a manufacturing and a service business versus production agriculture, but it's a business. And there's also the people part of it. And then you've got to train people to do it. And then there's the generational difference, your father versus you versus maybe your grandfather, whoever else. So many of these things are still the same. What's missing from your perspective technologically?
Yeah, I would love to get my dad to understand that you do not have to exit out of a window. You can just minimize it. And you don't have to log into something 7 times. You can just leave it open all day and keep coming back to it. I mean, from our end, you know, my wheelhouse is plant biology and the agronomy side, the physiology side. And it would be, you know, tissue testing, sap testing, all this stuff is out there and it's all great, but it could be better. It could be, you know, our universities, like Connor was saying, you know, we're behind the ball a little bit compared to some of our private corporations here. You know, they're using methods that are outdated. We're still looking at removal charts and stuff that are not even remotely accurate at this point because our soil's in a completely different state than it was when those charts were made up. So for someone to kind of go back to the drawing board on that kind of stuff and try to nail down on it from a technological standpoint, you know, this is where nutrient levels, you know, should be, where how much we're pulling for this kind of, you know, yields. That would be what I'd love to see because it's only going to help us on the nutritional side, on the industry side, be able to better make recommendations for you guys and be able to see that, you know, the yields pushed even better because we have a better understanding. Everyone has a better understanding of where we're going.
Introducing and implementing technology, it's always a struggle. It is around my little company of 1.5 with my wife. Oh God, we're going to do a new record keeping thing or we're going to do this. Then it's like, is this going to cause us to fight? Is this going to cause us? So how is it around the business? I imagine that you guys are the introducers or, shall I say, installers of some of these new technologies. What's that like working at your farming operation? Lane, I'm going to lead off with you again because years ago when I interviewed your old man, he talked about if the combine was running and getting the grain out of the field, that's all that mattered. And he said, I would have never stopped the machine because of the data collection. He says, now the combine doesn't run unless all of the technology is gathering the information so that way I can be a better farmer. So he's maybe isn't the person that knows how to program it all in, but he sure as heck understands the importance.
He does, and definitely getting better. I can tell you when you put something new out there, or you bring something new to the farm, excuse my French, that shit better work, because when it breaks down, it's the end of the world. That's the hardest part, is when you bring something new in and it gets some of those bugs that Connor was talking about, or Vern. When it does get a little dirt on it, a little moisture on it, that stuff will drive it. It drives me nuts. I'll be out in the middle of the field. I'll be so red faced, so mad that I can't hardly breathe. But you don't really want to be around Dad when something technological breaks or tears up or whatever.
Get the famous line, "I told you so."
Oh, yeah.
I did the exact same thing you did, and I don't know why it didn't work.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, now that's kind of fun, rapid fire. So now you're going around when all of these things blow up. First off, it was "I told you so," or "I don't know what happened. I did the exact same thing you did. It didn't work." So we know that one. Vern, what do you hear? I don't know why I can't make this work. This wasn't
pretty much the same thing. Just this morning, we've got a new system in our feed wagon, and it tracks what I load with the payloader, and I've got to push what ingredient I'm loading, and then it tracks Dad in the feed wagon as he unloads it. Well, it's an iPad, and I told him for a month, you got to shut it off at the end of the night, otherwise the system starts to get buggy. Well, now it's buggy, and the iPad's buggy. It freezes up on him, and he was having a full-blown meltdown this morning, and I was like, just double tap up and clear it out. Double tap and swipe up, and he didn't know that was a thing somehow. I don't know how his phone has been working this long, but yeah, we have those pretty frequently.
By the way, Lane, you always write down notes. Write down a note after we're done recording. Explain to Damien double tap and slide up, because I don't know what that means either. Okay.
I had to show Damien a commodity classic how to bring, you bring the corner of the phone down and it brings all the little shorthand things up. He said, "Man, I didn't know it did that."
Yeah. Hey, it's fine. I don't mind you young guys laughing, young gals laughing at me. That's why we're talking about this. Because here's the thing. By the way, I think Lane's a little bit, I think he's actually that stat he read. I thought it was closer to 60 was the average age. So the point is, older than me is the average age of the North American farmer. And here you guys are in your 20s or early 30s. This is going to be a reality for a while until you realize that it's your kids then that are going to be showing you the next thing. Because this has obviously been going on. You know, we used to make the joke about the VCR that the old person didn't know how to program and it just flashed 12 o'clock and all that sort of thing. And VCRs are Jackson, a VCR was how people watched movies in the old days. Okay.
I understand that.
All right. So anyway, what are we talking about? What are the blowups going around the farm? Granted, it's kind of amusing, but also, so we heard about the feed wagon, and then Caleb says, "I did the exact same thing as you did." Danielle says, "I told you so." Jackson, what happens when a new innovation, piece of tech on the farm blows up?
My dad's famous quote is, "Hey, you can find that, right? Or you can go back and fix that, right? Like, I got to go. So you go back and find that and fix it, get in line for me. We're all set." You know, I'm like, but that's our, when we're go, go, go. And like I said earlier, because we're so shorthanded, when we're go, 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 and don't have time, he don't slow down and put the thing. And he's like, "You go back and fix it later. You know, you got it."
Yeah. And whether you do or don't. Alexander, what happens around Chestnut Manor Farms when there's technology problems?
Like the auto steer side, that came 2008, 2009. But like the whole field view thing, we kind of got that established with both of us. So it wasn't like, he knew more than I did, which he does know more than I do. But it wasn't like we were back and forth. We were kind of like a balance. So that there's no really like hard throwing tools, stuff like that. It's just, let's get it fixed. Let's get it done. And let's, get on the way. Cause I'll be quick, something tear up electronically. I'm like, all right, I'm dropping in the ground. I'm going, but he kind of helps me slow up a little bit and fix it right and go ahead with it.
What thing in the last year have you, or two, technologically, innovation, changes you've made has been like, "Oh man, I'll tell you what, this is a game changer"? And is there anything you can think to that you've been involved in that, again, your dad leaned on you and you said, "All right, we're going to do this," and it's been a game changer? Anybody got anything like that?
I got one. It's not really completely on like the field side of the farm, but on the office side.
That's an important part of it also, right?
Yeah, it makes the world go round. Everybody wants a paycheck. So I've started, and it's probably been 2 months now, of using the app to clock in and out. So simple. Before, everybody was writing their time down, and then you have to figure up their time, then you have to text them, then you have to call them, make sure they send you your time to do payroll on time. Now, Wednesday nights, pull up the app, you can see everybody's clock in and out time, it totals it for you, it's right there. It's just something simple that saves so much time in the end, but it's not technically in the field, but it's something we've done in the office.
Anybody got anything? Probably inventory management, anything like that on your end, Caleb?
Oh, yeah. Inventory management's been something new. The biggest thing on our end has been, the last, 6 months, I convinced Dad that we're doing enough of this stuff that we need to automate everything, the loading. For all you guys before, when I was sending loads out to you, I was hooking it up to a truck. I was weighing it out on a truck scale. I was, having to swap between each individual product of, a different hose. And now, it's as simple as load number 7 on the computer, green button, loaded in half the time. Yep. And Dad was very hesitant to do that. It's trusting technology, trusting a meter to be as accurate as math, which is, math doesn't break. No, yeah. As long as you know what you're doing, math is math. But after the last month of using it, I think he sold. So
speaking of the technology, automation, and I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Obviously, we used to go, yeah. we used to pick cotton by hand, and we used to, walk soybean fields with a hoe, and I can go on about it and sound like, some old timer about how hard they had it. But this has been going on for a long, long time. You're going to continue to struggle to get good qualified labor on the farm. It's something we hear a lot about. And, the larger your operation or if your company, continues to expand and grow, Caleb, is the technology there to make it so you never need to hire another person? Or is it going to be that one goes with the other? I always wonder about that. Of course, it depends on what your farming operation or your company is going to look like. But what do you guys think about when you look at the future, human capital versus technological capital?
I don't think you'll ever get rid of people, and especially in this industry. I think it takes good hardworking people with a good solid foundation of technology that they can use to get everything done. But you're never gonna, a machine is never gonna work as hard as a person is, and you're always gonna have someone that is gonna have to want it and want to get out there and work hard to get it all done.
Who else guys think for that? Vern, you've been quiet for a little while.
I don't think you totally replace people, but as you add that automation, you need less people, but more qualified people, higher skill level of technology, higher level of adaptability to this sort of stuff we're talking about.
Lane's nodding his head. What do you got, Lane?
Yeah, Vern totally took mine. I was going with that same route. I don't think you get rid of people. I think a person's job changes. It's going to be managing that automation, and your skill set's going to have to change.
Yeah, I'd say that you're still going to, an operation like yours, obviously you've got that employee's role will change.
Yep.
And probably get more done. Ideally, that's what technology is supposed to do, make it so you can do more with less. So maybe you're farming 4,000 more acres with the same number of people, but the person's role went from driving the whatever to doing something else. Anyway, Alexander and Jackson, what do you got on this?
Yeah, I think kind of to play off those, I think, we'll never not have people because, you need the emotional and you need the quality side of, what you're doing. You can have an autonomous all the time, but you're whenever you want. But, if it's not doing the right thing or it's not doing as good as you want it to do, it's not worth anything. So I feel like the people, I feel like we're never going to not have, people doing something, maybe less like y'all were saying, but I don't think it's never just going to be like, all right, just let me set this on my computer. It'll go. Don't think.
Jackson, what do you got? Anything on this? Get me out of this topic.
More like it's not just people, but more like advanced people too, because as this technology is getting better and this equipment's getting more expensive, you don't want to put just some random person on it too. So like people you know, it almost takes a good mindset and good education now to run these things.
Yeah. Yeah. You got $700,000, $800,000, $900 million piece of equipment. And with the kind of technology that it's in, we were at the Fent tractor that was at Miles Farms, and there was three computer screens in there. And then his old man got in it because we had to move it for a photo shoot and a video I was going to do. And he had to call Lane and said, how do you start this? How do you start? And that's it. This is not some guy that just came from the suburbs of Chicago. This is a guy that's been driving equipment since he was a little kid. And he got in a piece of equipment just this October and said, Lane, how do I start this? That's an interesting thing to me. Now, there's last couple topics, one sentence or less, you know, a little rapid fire to get us out of here. What have we overcomplicated? I look at stuff. There's something technologically that's more complicated than it should be. Who's got something for that?
Tractors in general nowadays.
More difficult to operate than they really should be. I think I can go along with that. When your old man can't even figure out how to start. What's more difficult than it needs to be?
I'll agree with that. On tractors, we had some shutdowns. The seat sensor on the tractor, it stops reading the person in it, and then it jumps off your auto steer line. We've made these things so complicated with massaging chairs and refrigerators and things that aren't really necessary that we're limiting our necessary capabilities.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, I got a Ford F-150 brand new last year, and it dings and beeps and honks over if I have kids in the backseat. I don't even have kids. And I'm like, I just want the damn thing to actually – I want to be able to actually see, you know, am I in the right drive mode? Am I in two-wheel drive or four high? And I don't really need to know to be warned that there might be some kid in my backseat, and I would have no idea where they came from. Because I don't have kids. Anyway, I'm with you on that. What's more complicated than needs to be? Danielle, you're laughing.
I won't send my kid there with you. Don't worry. That's right. I'll keep him in my truck.
If your kid is there, I'll probably know it. Anyway, hey, where does kid come from? All right. What's more complicated than needs to be?
I'm going to say when it comes to tractors, I mean, we got a new tractor this fall, and it couldn't even read, like, me sitting in the seat because – when you put the PTO in gear, it was saying that the operator had left the cab.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't even put the PTO in gear. And you had to sit on the front edge of the seat, rock it back and forth. And I mean, it's one of those things, they did come out and fix it immediately, but it's like, it's a brand new tractor and it's saying that somebody's not sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
Baby probably got the shaking baby syndrome if you haven't do all that.
Hey, there wasn't no baby at that point. It's fine.
All right, anybody else? Alexander, Jackson, Caleb, what thing is more unnecessarily complicated? What thing is unnecessarily complicated?
I was going to say, like, maneuvering through the software, maneuvering through the screens in the tractor. Like I said earlier, you got to press 4, 5, 6 buttons just to find something simple, like turning the headlights on. I mean, you know, like, just stuff like that.
Yeah, it used to be a knob you pulled out and the headlights went on, and now you've got to decipher, go through an entire thing. Alexander, you got anything? Anything that's unnecessarily complicated, Caleb?
Yeah, kind of touch on those. We go with, you know, tractors too, but also to monitors, you know, easy accessibility to each everything. And we go to sprayers even, you know, like Jackson was saying earlier about the spot spray and all that stuff. It's just a matter of time of working out the bugs, you know. Everybody wants to come out with something new and get this new, brand new, blah, blah, blah. But if it don't work, you know, it's not worth anything. So I think that's the big thing is getting over that hurdle of making sure when it comes out that there's, you know, not as many bugs.
Yep. Caleb, you got anything?
Yeah, despite having just putting in a new automation system, I'm going to round out with everyone here in that it's vehicles. I mean, we do a lot of our own delivering, and I mean, we just have duallys, and they've got so many sensors and alarms in them, you know, filters that if they go wrong, they shut down the whole truck. I had a delivery guy get stuck half a state away because a sensor went bad, and it's just like, you're done. You can't drive anymore. And we had to go, you know, put him in a hotel for the night and come get him. Because, you know, it just doesn't want to run right. Or, you know, we have to follow all the good DOT rules, and the truck, you got to have electronic logs. And so you move over 5 mph, it logs it, all that kind of stuff. And it just shouldn't be that hard. You know, the old record keeping wasn't too bad to begin with. So,
well, it's the old thing. The promise is neat and it's there. But then when the promise means that your hired guy didn't get product to a customer, and then your truck didn't get back, and you had another customer that got delayed, and you had to buy a hotel room, and you were paying your employee, the promise of that technology made things not just inconvenient, it cost you money.
Yeah, you're delivering a pallet of sugar to a guy in the bed of a truck that's on a trailer because you had to go send another truck with a trailer to pick up that truck. Yeah. But you didn't have room for the pallet, so you left it in the bed of the truck while you delivered it.
All right, get me out of here. Last question. Where are we going? When you look at the future from your perspective to me, you know, I can get kind of excited. I can geek out a little bit. You know, Vern talks about reading. I like to read about where I see things going. And frankly, it gets overwhelming. And that's good because it kind of like, so what overwhelms you but also excites you about the future, technology and agriculture? Who wants to go first?
I think automation has been the next frontier for as long as I can remember that we're going to have driverless tractors, and it's not there yet, but that's still what I'm hearing. Also, other thing I throw out there is AI capabilities. What's that going to look like from a data management perspective or planning, analyzing and planning the next crop?
Yep. Alexander, what excites you? Tell me about what excites you or overwhelms you while still exciting you about technology coming to agriculture 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now.
Oh, sex control, spot spray, all that stuff, just so we can cut back on our end, you know, our investments and use it where it's needed and not, you know, overspray where it doesn't need it or where you've already been.
Yeah.
It's
got an environmental benefit, which is going to excite the people. Well, it may appease the people that
the whole sustainable aspect. Yep. Just using what we need and getting by with what we got. And, you know, the whole precision ag stuff too.
Right. Lane, what do you get excited about the future? 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, when your kids might be in your role, what excites you about technological innovations coming to the farm?
I would say kind of exciting, but also a little scary is the AI. Mm-hmm. I mean, now they're putting them on the combines. They're seeing spray. Just hope maybe that in 10 years, my kids aren't using it to write essay papers.
That might happen. Jackson, what excites you or overwhelms you, or when you think about it, when you're spending your days driving in the sprayer, what do you think about technologically that's coming to the farm that excites you or scares you a little bit, or both?
I would say like the drones and stuff they come out with, or all these products they're making where you can get through so much less and go so much further.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff we ain't never seen before.
Yeah, the idea that a drone might spray all 43,560 square feet of an acre, and you're like, how did they do that? They've got there's more volume of fluid in my glass right here, but you know that day could be coming.
As long as you can keep them batteries charged up.
Anything scare you?
Not really, not yet.
Danielle, what excites you and or scares you about technology coming to the farm?
The data management side is what excites me. The reporting that we have to turn in, the sustainability factors that are starting to play into the future, the data management that's there and being developed, and if we can get it to one platform like we've talked about, that's what excites me for the future. What scares me is putting all of your trust into that data management software and it not crashing.
And that's where you and me and Lane, the whole world is going to be shut down, but you and me and Lane are going to have our notepads and our pen and paper. Sorry. Caleb, get me out of here. What excites you and what scares you about the future, technologically speaking, that's coming to agriculture?
I think I'm most scared. I'd agree with several of the other guys here. AI, when we start putting our faith in machines to know better than we do, when we stop letting go of skills that we need to know,
yep.
I think that's scary. You know, they're useful. They're useful tools, but we shouldn't be 100% relying on them to tell us what we need to do. I think I'm most excited about data management on your guys' end rather than on my end, to be able to see exactly, you know, hey, we went out and we put this out here, we used your products here, we used this there, blah, blah, and then be able to get accurate results, see where we did, you know, so that we can come back next year and help fine tune those recommendations and make them even more efficient for you guys. I mean, that's where I'm excited to see. You know, I want to be able to do the best job I can at recommending stuff and putting the right stuff out there at the right time rather than, you know, I mean, tissue samples are great, great example. They're they're an X-ray. They're a good tool, but I mean, we could be better at it. We could see more accurately what's going on, and we can make even better recommendations rather than being a little bit behind the eight ball, you know.
Talked about is ag technology where it should be. Then we talked about what's useful. We talked about what's not useful. Talked about what needs improvement. Talked about the adoption and the adapting to new things on the farms. Talked about these guys and their role. This is Extreme Ag. These are the young guns. These are the offspring of the people that created Extreme Ag. Connor, sometimes known as Vern Garrett, who's amazingly, remarkably adaptable for being as old as he is. I mean, he's 25 tomorrow, but he sometimes is about 30 years older than his dad and me. Danielle Venable, with child, by the way. She'll have that, you know, what's interesting is that maybe they kept saying on that tractor, Danielle, that they thought there was two people in the seat. And maybe that was the problem. They didn't think there'd be two people. So the seat sensor was going off. Jackson Henderson, Lane, Miles, Alexander, Evans, or Rhodes. And then, of course, Caleb Coots. Till next time, thanks for being here. This is a four-part series. We're talking about the future with the young guns and the next generation, and it's a great little series. It's brought to you by Teva. If you want to learn more about Teva, that's Caleb's company. Go to Teva Corporation. Is it TevaCorporation.com?
TevaCorporation.com. Corporation is spelled all the way out.
TevaCorporation.com. Go check it out. Till next time, thanks for being here. I'm Damian Mason, and this is Extreme Ag Cutting the Curve.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out extremeag.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation.